Welcome to Ever Increasing Word Training Center. We're on lesson number 4. We do give honor to our apostle, prophet, Apostle Thompson. And to you, the students, we welcome you back. And I'm sure you had a joyous time dealing with your quizzes and then also your exam. And so we're excited. I just know that you've done a great, terrific job. And so we're excited about the class, and we're moving forward to understanding greater detail and how important it is for the body of Christ to be equipped for effectual working of ministry. And so as we move forward to understand the important role of the fivefold gifting in the body of Christ, and how important it is that these five offices operate in every ministry. And again, I emphasize, even as pastors who are in the training class as well, that even if the gift is not on you as the pastor, having your apostle that come in and speak to your congregation, whether personally or by satellite or by internet, your connection to allowing these gifts to speak into your ministry, men that God has spoken to your heart about, women that God has spoken to your heart about, that are credible men and women who can impact your local church and your congregation, is very vital, because every saint, every believer need to be impacted and understand who they are and how they operate in the culture of honor. This is a kingdom culture. It is not a football culture, or baseball culture, or basketball culture. It is the kingdom culture. The rules are not the same. The leadership is not the same. And so, therefore, we have to understand to be able to make the transition of understanding how we operate in a world system and how we operate in a kingdom system. And they are two different. But as a Christian, as a believer, you must be able to take the culture of the kingdom into the world system and infiltrate it and begin to sow seed of the kingdom in the hearts of people. This is how we have not only a culture shock, but a culture change and affect the world. We affect the world. And that's why Jesus said to us, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He's taking his kingdom and influencing the world of his righteousness, of his holiness, and of his love. And that's what you and I are here today to do, to learn, to be imparted into by our apostle, these instructors who are adequately able to minister and teach to you these principles and these truths that transform you first. You're the first person to be convinced. You're the first person to be persuaded in your belief values so that you can go out and transform the world. Because you're going to have challenges. You're going to have other denominations and even the world way of thinking to attack you and come against the kingdom culture. But that's okay. We don't want you to go out half-cocked. We don't want you to go out unequipped and not able to stand your ground in the things of God. We want you to be adequate. We want you to be able to minister, to witness, and also to demonstrate by the power of the Spirit how to deal with this world system and win souls for the kingdom of God. You have that ability. You have that anointing, and we want to see you flowing in that anointing. Amen. So let's get right to our lesson in chapter 2 is where we're headed this evening in lesson number 4, talking about the funnel from heaven. The funnel from heaven and understanding how these fivefold gifts operate in the body of Christ and how they help us to be equipped to do the work of ministry. Now, in our last lesson number 3, we shared with you about dealing with the church, the atmosphere of the church, how to move into a the culture and how we deal with issues, and because there are going to be confrontations. And so we have to have our mindset full of love, full of mercy, full of grace when we are dealing with those who will make missteps in the body of Christ, to bring restoration, to bring healing, and to win our brothers and sisters, and not to run them away from the body of Christ, that they have a bitter taste in their mouth for the kingdom and for the local church. We don't want that. We want them to have the salt of the word of God in our spirit, the salt of the word of God in our spirit. So when we're speaking with grace and we're speaking with mercy and compassion, but yet truth that convicts them and brings them into the reality of their correction, and so they can walk in the love of God and be restored in the church to continue to function and not feel the shame that many people feel when they go to counsel or correction, because they feel that they have been judged so badly or so wrongly because of their actions. And so we want to be able to use righteous judgment and the mercy of God as we walk in the love of God and restoring people in the kingdom and in our culture. So it's very important that we understand that. So now that we're moving to chapter two, lesson four, dealing with the funnel from heaven, giving some insight about the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor and teacher, and their roles in the local church, and why it's important that we be influenced by all five of the offices. Very important. Let's go on and look at something as you turn to chapter 2. Here's a statement that they make here about Nelson Mandela from South Africa, statesman. He makes this statement. He said, "There is nothing like returning to a place that remained unchanged, that remains unchanged, to find the ways in which you yourself have altered, which you yourself has altered." Other words, statesmen were saying, Nelson Mandela, a great man, great leader, who have impacted South Africa. I had the opportunity to go there myself and do some mission field work there, and seeing the heart of the culture, and seeing how it have changed and shifted from the regime ahead before him, and how that was a change, and how he have gone through all the years of enslavement, imprisonment, and to come out and realize that things still remain the same. And now to come out and now to realize his sacrifice was not in vain, that the hearts of the people was ready for change. The hearts of the people were ready for change. And he became their statesman, and he became that leader in that region of South Africa. And I'm telling you, it's a beautiful transition that took place during his reign. And so what we're doing again is emphasizing Jesus as our model in how you and I are to go in and bring change. Go in and bring change. You may know yourself that there are places in your community that you grew up in and that you may have now moved on years later. And when you go back to that community and you see that that community is not the community that you grew up in, it's now a different community, may have not moved that far, but the mindsets of the people in that community is pretty much the same. They have not made great changes in that community, because there's no light, because there's no fresh revelation, because there's no insight for tomorrow. Things can be better. Things can be bigger. And that change is not happening. But that's what you and I are supposed to do as Christians, as sons and daughters of God, to go to the nations and bring the kingdom culture, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. This is the culture that brings revolution. This is the culture that brings reform in any area. And this is why your transition, the renewing of your mind, the new birth on the inside of you is so effective. You have to come to revelation and realization that you are the power of God being represented in the earth. You are the power of God. being represented in the earth, and one word from you, one action from you can change a whole community, can change a whole society. And when you begin to speak, when you begin to activate, when you begin to move in the Spirit and the leading of the Holy Spirit to minister, to organize, to teach and train others how to walk in this culture, it brings change. It brings effective change. And so let's go on. Let's see what's happening here. He says, the author says, I believe that one of the primary focus that has kept Bethel Church in a state of preparation and for and stewardship of the outpouring of the Spirit is the wineskin. Is the wineskin of its leadership. It's the wineskin of its leadership, which has been established with an apostolic and prophetic foundation and with an expression of each of the other fivefold ministry graces described in Ephesians 4 and 11. In Ephesians 4 and 11. You realize that's part of our foundation teaching, part of our meditation scriptures that we shared, Ephesians 4 and 11. With the church being released to the church of Ephesus by the Apostle Paul, begin to say that God has, there's one God, one faith, one baptism. And the same God that descended is the same God that ascended. And he has now released gifts unto men. He released gifts unto men. And those gifts is what the pastor and the author is saying that have kept their church grounded on this foundation is because of the fact that they are founded upon an apostolic and prophetic anointing. An apostolic and prophetic anointing. Now, we need to understand where we are today from where we were in the days of the apostles in the early church. We need to understand the transition that we're living in and the change that we're in. It's different in the moderate church today, in the American church today. The early church was founded upon the teachings and the doctrines of the apostle, Jesus Christ being the chief apostle, is what the early church was founded upon. And so when the apostles was moving in the word, in the spirit, there are great signs, great wonders, and great miracles happening consistently, consistently in the kingdom, in the earth, because the apostles and prophets was focused upon causing a heaven to earth transition. A heaven to earth transition, not an earthly man culture to a heavenly culture, but from a heavenly culture to changing the man culture. And when we can focus upon bringing the church back into this funnel from heaven to earth, then the signs and wonders and miracles will begin to flow again in our nation, in our world. We'll begin to see the supernatural of the apostles and even the Elijah ministry and the Elisha ministry. These are powerful ministries that we've seen great moves of God. But that happened because there was a order, there was a flow happening that caused that funnel to begin to move in a brain change, to move in brain change. You realize how funnel, a tornado funnel from heaven to earth. It comes out of the heavenlies, and then it touches the earth, and it moves forward. It moves forward, and it began to bring radical change. Radical change. It transformed the landscape. It transformed by removing stuff destructively, not orderly, but destructively moving things and causing those things to happen in the earth, very destructive. But we're talking about calling radical change that is constructive, not destructive. But yet it's also pulling down the strongholds, the mindsets of the adversary, the mindsets of the enemy that have set in the earth realm things that are very destructive. You know, the Bible says how God anointed Jesus Christ in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and with power, went about doing good, destroying all the works of the enemy. He was healing, he was delivering, he was setting people free because he was moving in the power of the Holy Ghost. He was moving in the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, and John, he talked about he was sent to destroy the works of the enemy. He was sent to destroy the works of the enemy. These powers, man, the anointing will destroy the yoke. The anointing will destroy the yoke. And that's what you're carrying. That's what you're a carrier of. That's what you've been baptized in. You've been baptized into the power of the Holy Spirit to destroy the powers of darkness. To the powers of darkness. And that's why there's such a great resistance. That's a great resistance in the earth, in the spirit world, and in the carnal world to keep the church out, to keep the church not being a center focus. And this is why they don't want to talk about God on the football field and God on basketball courts. Why? Because when God's name is spoken, the atmosphere get all disturbed because God's name has been spoken. I mean, that's a kingdom order that's coming to the earth. That means things are about to change, things are about to shift, and they don't want that name spoken. But thank God, God is getting in. God is getting in those areas. Christian men and Christian women are being a part of those activities, even in the government, and it's going to bring a strong shift in the powers that rule in the earth realm. You can be a part of that power change. That's why you're here. That's why you tune in. That's why you're a part of this school of training, because the anointing, the apostolic, the prophetic anointing will come upon your life and empower you to help your pastor and help you as a pastor to bring the freshness of heaven to the earth in your local church, that you won't have stale movement, but you will have a fresh anointing that will cause radical change in your church, in your people. Now, some may leave, but those who will remain will become powerful ministers of the word, and they'll be able to help you to build that vision and to bring change in that community because they are full of the Holy Ghost and the power of God. Hallelujah. Listen what Paul is saying. The pastor of this local church in Bethel is saying, he says, we are standing because of the wineskin, the outpouring, the wineskin, the fresh oil that's upon the apostles and the prophets that's causing a heaven to earth revelation and transaction to take place. It's a powerful anointing. Ephesians 4 and 11. He says, the pastor, the teacher, and evangelist. I believe this is true because I, as a member of this team, have firsthand, I've seen firsthand how these diverse anointings, same spirit, but operate in a different manner, but the same spirit. Each address an essential part of the identity and purpose of the church. Though they specify specific areas of focus and motivation. They're specific in their focus and their motivation. They're different, but yet the same spirit. Yet the same spirit. See, that's more to you, as I said to you in the previous lesson, more to you just being an usher, just being a praise team member, a sanctuary steward. That's more to you than that. And everyone in your church and everyone in the body of Christ get to realize that they have been called, chosen, and anointed by God for the work of ministry, and that training is necessary so that you can be a stronger, effective, and bolder witness for the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of God, and affecting the atmosphere everywhere you go, every place you go. You are bringing change because of the anointing that you are setting up under is apostolic. It's prophetic, it's evangelistic, it's pastoral, and it's teachable. The teaching's anointing is on your life and will become on your life as you continue to bathe in these 2 years of training in the Word here at the training center. You don't want to miss a moment. You want to ask God, Holy Spirit, to help you to focus in your time and your focus to be a part of every teaching, every training section, and every exam that goes on. You want to get in on it. You want to be in on it. He makes this statement. This is what I want to focus on He said, without a complete, mature expression of these graces that equip the saints, the people of God cannot be adequately prepared to contain what God is pouring out and release it to the world around them. That statement is so clear and precise why the every believer, every Christian need to be trained in the body of Christ. Why they need to be in a training center. So they can be effective. They can be effective, totally matured, fully holistically informed and empowered for an effective work of ministry. They need to understand each operation of ministry. So whether they see and hear other apostles and other prophets speaking, because you have this insight, because you have this anointing, you're able to discern by the Spirit where these men and women of God are operating and why their mission is so important. And then you're able to discern those who are true apostles and those who are false apostles and prophets, because you have that anointing, you have that insight, that revelation by the Holy Spirit, and you will know. And that's why as we move forward to understand the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher ministry, you will begin to see why you need to know that. So this statement that we have just read to you, without a complete, mature expression of these graces that equip the saints, the people of God cannot be adequately prepared to contain what God is pouring out. You see, without it, you'll begin to move to a place of resistance. See, denomination and tradition fight the other areas of ministry, because we'll begin to focus and see they're good people. They love God. They're born again. But they are, lack of a better word, they're unknowledgeable of the fullness of God, of the manifold graces of God that has been given to the body of Christ. They're only on one slice of the piece, you know, or that's one slice of the pie. They're not looking at all the other slices and other pieces that is on the pie. There's a born the piece. They're not looking at that. They're only focusing on what they are hearing. And therefore, they're only blindsided from the other truths and graces in the body of Christ. So let's move forward. I want to take you now to page 56. Page 56. And for your meditation and reading, not meditation, yeah, meditation and reading from page 47 to 45, I want you to glance through that so that you can also be informed of how he come to give us from page 57. 56, what we're going to be talking about. It's just some good reading that you can go over to help you better grasp hold to what we're going to teach you in this segment. Listen what he says here on page 56. Talking about the apostles and prophets. The apostles and prophets. And again, he emphasizes, before we explore the five primary anointing in more detail, along with their strengths and weaknesses, let me point to the scripture base for both the offices and primary priority order of the apostle and prophet. Now, scripturally based, this is what we want to make sure that you understand, that we need to be scripturally sound, line up on line, precept on precept, not skipping anything, not omitting anything that God has put in that is necessary for you to function and for the local church to function on a global and world scale to bring change. So we need to understand, what does the scripture say? And follow that, follow the scripture so that we can have the funnel from heaven to earth operating in our lives. He says, now you are Christ's body, and individually, members of it. And God has appointed to the church first apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. Then miracles. Then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. Various kinds of tongues. And so we see here, according to the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 to 31. We're seeing here in the scriptures where Paul is giving us not only an order of the fivefold gifts and callings and giftings in the body of Christ and their order, but he's creating to us a funnel, which is called a flow. It's called a flow. Paul clearly lays out an order of priority in this passage, he says. And this order is related to the realms of the supernatural that correspond to each particular office. As you could see in the previous illustration where he talks to us about the order of things and how they function. That's why I told you to go back and read that for your reading, your meditation, which would help you get a greater insight or grips on what we're talking about here. As you could see in the previous illustration, the anointing of the apostle and prophet creates a perspective that is primarily focused on perceiving what is going on in heaven and bringing that to earth. The primary focus of the apostles and prophets is to bring heaven to earth. God gives the prophet and the apostle and prophet, insight, revelation on what he's doing and what he's about to do. What he's doing and what he's about to do. This is why the church have insight, revelation knowledge, revealed truth. And we only can get that through the apostles and the prophetic gifts that God has released in the earth. This is why it's so important. This is how we keep our ministry, fresh. This is how we wind up keeping our ministry in the realm of the supernatural with signs, wonders, and miracles constantly happening in our local church because we are moving in the apostolic and the prophetic. Let me give you question one and answer question one. Following the statement I just read to you, the last part of that same paragraph that I just read to you, that statement to you, that said the teacher is focused on being able to describe everything that happens accurately, and the evangelist and pastors are focused on the people. Keep reading. You see, each of these areas of focus is virtually important, vitally important. But in order for them to function together as God intended, they must relate to one another according to his order and priority. You see, in order for us to function properly and have the full backup of heaven, demonstration, signs, and wonders, and miracles happening, we have to function accordingly. Nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing absent. See, we have to begin to go back to the scriptural-based order that the church was established. And I know today that people will say to you, well, there are no apostles today. The prophet and apostles, those guys are done away with the early church and the last apostle died, that was it. No, not so. Now, I will agree that the original 12 is passed on. But the gifts and the calling came from heaven and not from men. So therefore, the gift and the office of the apostle has not been extinguished and done away with. It still exists. The office of the apostle, the office of the prophet still exists, and there are men and women of God who are qualified, called by God, sent out by God with the to the office, the gifts and the anointing to operate in these offices, as our apostle and our prophet, Apostle Thompson, does. So we can understand what religion would say about the apostles passed over, but that passed on. It was all they're talking about, the original 12 that had passed. But there was, even then, there was apostles in that day besides the 12. Because we'll see the church in Antioch in the Acts of the Apostles. Even Paul and Peter went to Antioch where the apostles, other apostles and prophets was operating. And they submitted themselves to them, and even Paul and them had their hands laid upon them by the prophets and the apostles and prophets, and was sent out. So there was more apostles than just the 12. So we can see that the apostles and prophets are relevant today and necessary for the church. We need seers, because you cannot go forth without sight. We cannot operate without vision. Without vision. Okay, so let's move forward. The first question that you need to underline and make note is the area of heaven focus come first. The area of heaven focus come first, which is what? Apostles and prophets. They focus on heaven. They focus on heaven and influence the area of earthly focus. The apostles and prophets influence the focus of earthly men, or earthly focus, earthly agendas, when we focus from a heaven to earth mandate in kingdom order that God is talking about through the apostle Paul. Number two, he says, when on page 57, top of the paragraph, top of the page, said, when Paul makes apostles first, prophets second, and teachers third, he is describing a flow. He is describing a flow. Underline that. That's number two. I want you to have this. This is going to be on your quiz and eventually on your second exam. So you need to make sure you have this information. He says the flow streams through the teacher is related in miracles and healings and continued through helps in administrations and tongues. He said this flow continues through the teacher, you know, and administration and in various tongues. But it starts from the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. It begins at the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. So we can't omit them out of our local church, even though the American culture has done so. But they are vital to us flowing in the spirit with signs, wonders, and miracles in our culture and maintaining a freshness from heaven to earth ministry. Number three, the second paragraph on page 57, he says, rather than having the apostles and prophets at the foundation of church culture, today the American church has largely placed the teacher, pastor, or evangelist at the helm. The American culture is focused upon pastoral. Now again, every office, every anointed gift is necessary, is important. But the emphasis that we're placing upon this is the divine order that the Spirit released to Apostle Paul by revelation was we move through apostles and prophets, then to the other parts of the body of Christ, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. This is how we flow. This is how we operate. And with any of these being absent from our local church, then every member become ineffective, effective in some parts, but ineffective in the whole working of the body of Christ, because they are absent from the full funnel truth of how the church is supposed to operate. And that's why we still have this negativity when you start talking about apostles and prophets. Most denomination tradition, they try to shoot it down. They try to shut the door on it. Why? Because they are ignorant and lacking this truth, because all they know is pastor, teacher, evangelist. And they are the him operating, overseeing, operating everything. But every pastor need a prophet in his life. He need to be connected to a prophet. He need to be connected to an apostle. He need to be setting up under the apostle so he can have tunnel vision of what God is doing and what God is speaking and what God is about to do. Insight and foresight on what's going on in the heavenlies so the earth can adequately receive what heaven is doing and bring change. Even our earthly prayer, our spiritual prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, that John taught his disciples was, let thy will be done in heaven as it is on earth as it is in heaven. See, their prayer life was saying, God, whatever you're doing in heaven, we want it to happen in earth. We want you moving in the earth, because heaven have no sickness. Heaven have no disease. Heaven have no death. Heaven has no lack. There's no poverty there. You see, and so therefore the peace and the joy that rests in the Holy Ghost and righteousness is in heaven. In order for the earth to experience that, then heaven has to come to earth. The angel says to Mary and the shepherds that was watching, peace on earth and goodwill to all men. Well, he was speaking a heaven to earth revelation. Peace on earth, you know, and he was saying heaven is full of peace. Heaven is full of good peace and goodwill toward all men. Everything is well in heaven. You see, and you want that to happen in earth, and you are a carrier of that anointing to make that happen in your personal life, in the lives of those that you touch, those that you witness to. This revelation, this anointing, kingdom truth can happen in those persons' lives that you witness and testify to. That's number three. Let's focus on number four. Number four is, in that same paragraph, the second paragraph that we're in, it says the role of the pastor is to create a church that has strong family value and systems in place to nourish strong character and relationship. That's the pastorate. The pastorate is people-focused, nurturing, gathering. There are about building strong relationships, strong family core values. That's what the shepherd does. He's that nurturer. You see, and so we need our pastors after we preach this revelation and the evangelist is out winning souls and those sheep are coming into the sheepfold. We need pastors to train and nurture the sheep that come in and help raise them up and strengthen them so they can go forward and do the work of ministry. We need them. That's why they're effective. That's why they're necessary. But they are not the center. They are not so far the center of sin was coming. What God is doing in the heavenlies and what God wants to do, that's why they need to be connected to the apostles and prophets. And we need to restore. We need to be open pastors. We need to be open to the prophetic. We need to be open to the apostolic so that our churches can be grounded on the foundation and experience in the supernatural from heaven to earth ministry. Number five, the next sentence, the role of the evangelist is to emphasize church growth and to train church members to share their faith and lead others to Christ. That's evangelism. That's evangelism is in our church. We need evangelists because they excite, they motivate, they fire us up, and they train us and teach us how to go out and win souls and testify of the goodness of God and what God has done in our life. This is what they do. This is why many churches are not don't experience church growth. It's because they don't have evangelistic ministry within their local church. And their people are just bench members or chair members. They just focus on the local Sunday worship or the midweek service worship. funeral services. They're focused on that and not going out witnessing and winning souls for Christ. Pastors, apostles, and prophets, we need to do the same thing. We're not exempted because we're called to the fivefold ministry gift. We're supposed to witness as well. But all of this comes in when we have the fullness of the gifts operating as one in the local church, that our church will be on fire. Our church will have supernatural visitation. Our churches would have signs, wonders, and miracles happening. And we'll experience church growth. People coming in want to hear and see what God is doing through your local church, because you're a governmental church, you're a model church, because you have allowed the gifts of the Spirit, all fivefold ministry gifts, speaking in tongues, prophesying gifts, to operate in that local assembly. Listen, you don't want to miss these classes. I want you on fire. We want you on fire. Apostle wants you on fire, full of the Spirit of God, that you're moving, your church is growing, your pastor's excited, you're helping your pastor grow that ministry, and you're changing that community, because the anointing and the gifts in your local church is equipping you for a greater work, effectual work of ministry. Listen, I love you. I'm going to see you in lesson 5. So you have a great week. Be explosive. Meditate. Eat the Word of God. Go back through the lessons and listen over the tape over and over again, so that you can be impacted, informed, influenced, be able to influence others to join the kingdom of heaven. Listen, God love you. I love you. Until next week, lesson number 5, I see you then. God bless you.